Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Father Robert Nixon, and this is the commentary series on Abandonment to Divine Providence by Jean-Pierre de Quissard. Today is day 12 in our series, and we're going to be continuing now with Book 2, Chapter 2, and looking at the first couple of sections of that, at Sections 1 and 2. And these are very important and key sections of the book, talking about the duties involved in abandoning ourselves to divine providence, and also highlighting some of the consolations and desolations or challenges which are attached to it. To equip ourselves with the wisdom and the fortitude and the fidelity to deal with these issues properly, let us first commend ourselves to God in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, you call us to offer all that we are to you, to offer our life, everything we possess, all of our hearts, dreams, and desires, and even our very selves and our souls. And in return, you give us that which is infinitely more, your own perfect goodness, which is the perfection of all possible goodness. Give us the strength to take up our cross in abandoning ourselves fully to your will. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in the first chapter of Book 2, we looked at the different characteristics of the soul which has abandoned itself fully to God, and how this submission is a free gift to God, a kind of sacrifice. And he now expands upon this theme. And he talks, this chapter 2 is entitled, The Duties of Those Souls Called by God to the State of Abandonment. And in the first section, which is called Sacrifice, the Foundation of Sanctity, he says that the first great duty of souls called by God to this state is the absolute and entire surrender of themselves to you. He gives us a quote, Sacrificate sacrificium, et sperate in Domine. Offer a sacrifice, literally sacrifice a sacrifice, and hope in the Lord. He says that is to say that the great and solid foundation of the spiritual life is the sacrifice of oneself to God, subjecting oneself to his good pleasure in all things, both interior and exterior, and becoming so completely forgetful of self thereafter as to regard oneself as a chattel, sold and delivered, to which no longer has any right. In this way, the good pleasure of God forms one's whole felicity, and his happiness, glory, and existence one's sole good. Well, this sounds very dramatic and challenging, and in some ways it is. But when we think about what sacrifice actually means, it's important that we don't get too wrapped up in the negative connotation of it and imagine it's something, you know, we don't want to do. Or the literal meaning of sacrifice, sacrificere, is to make holy. So by sacrificing ourselves, we're actually consecrating ourselves. We're making ourselves holy to God by uniting ourselves with him. So this is kind of the offering. So to sacrifice something is not to destroy it, but rather it's to elevate it, to raise it up, to make it holy. And we sacrifice our will to God by conforming our will to his will. And in this way, the good pleasure, in other words, whatever God's will is, forms one's whole felicity or happiness. So we find our happiness in the fact, in the recognition that God's will is being perfectly carried out. Even if that will might not at first sight match with our own preferences or our own plans or expectations, nevertheless, we can be sure that God's will is being carried out, and this becomes the source of happiness. He says, "To abandon oneself, therefore, is the principal duty to be fulfilled, involving, as it does, the faithful discharge of all the obligations of one's state. The perfection with which these duties are accomplished will be the measure of the sanctity of each individual soul." Well, this is, I think, a very key point here to recognize what this abandonment really is. Sometimes when we hear about this abandonment, we might think about the Quietist movement. Now, the Quietist movement was a kind of spiritual trend in France at that time, saying basically that you don't really have to do anything to achieve sanctity. All you have to do is kind of give way and let grace do its work. Well, there is an element of truth in that, but what De Cussard is emphasizing here is that this submission to God isn't actually just a passive state. Rather, it is a submission to whatever your duties are in your state of life. So if, for example, you're a priest, your duties include the celebration of the sacraments, in particular the Eucharist, for the sanctification of the world. Also the assistance of Christian souls through the ministry of preaching, through the sacrament of penance, and through the other sacramental and ministerial elements of the sacerdotal life. So all of these have to be actively fulfilled, but the perfect fulfillment of whatever one's duties are in life, he says, is the measure of our abandonment to the submission of the divine will. And this is true not only if our state of life is a specifically religious one, but also if it's a different one, to parenthood, to married life, to whatever professional vocation we might be. So how well we go about the duties of our individual life, or I should say not so much how well, but how dedicatedly we go about those duties, is the measure of our submission to God, because perfect submission to Him implies perfect obedience to the demands of our state of life. Continuing with this theme, he now speaks to his own soul, and he says, "On my soul, through despondency, illness, aridity, uncertain tempers, weakness of disposition, snares of the devil and of men, through suspicions, jealousies, evil imaginations, and prejudices. Let us soar like the eagle above all these clouds, with eyes always fixed on the sun and on its way, which represents our obligations. All this we must needs feel, but we must at the same time remember that ours is not a life of mere sentiment, and that it does not depend upon us either to feel or to be callous. Let us live in the higher regions of the soul, in which God and His will form an eternity ever equal, ever the same, ever unchanging." Now, I think this is a wonderful sentiment here. He's not denying that even when we have abandoned ourselves fully to the will of God, we're not going to be subject to a bunch of normal human emotions and responses: despondency, discouragement, doubt, evil imaginations, and so forth. All of these things come to us as a consequence of original sin, and they come to us as a consequence of the fragility of our mortal state. Of course, this doesn't mean we should cultivate them or wallow in them, but he's saying even when these things happen, we should rise above them like an eagle rising above the clouds. If we keep our hearts and the eyes of our mind focused on this divine will of God, which is like a kind of metaphoric sun, that we will then kind of transcend all of these things which should weigh us down. He's saying that we shouldn't live a life of mere sentiment, In other words, not be tossed to and fro by our emotions. But at the same time, we are not called to be callous. In other words, we're not called to pretend that we're immune to these things, that we never feel discouragement or temptation or despondency. But at the same time, we can transcend them, recognizing that they're things which pertain to our carnal nature, our temporal nature, rather than the divine likeness which dwells within us. And he says that our soul becomes independent of the senses. Their troubles and agitations and innumerable vicissitudes no more affect it than the clouds that obscure the sky for a moment and then fade away affect the sun. So I think this is quite important to think, well, we're not going to be pushed around by our own emotional responses and so forth. That the soul has a life which is independent of the life of the senses and the life of the emotions, which to some extent are reactions of the senses. He says that the soul in the state of faith, which knows the secret of God, dwells always in peace. All that takes place interiorly, instead of alarming it, reassures it. Deeply convinced that it is guided by God, it takes all that happens as so much grace, and overlooking the instrument with which God works, it thinks only of the work he is doing, which is the very work of our salvation. Section 2 of chapter 2 of book 2 talks about the pains and consolations of abandonment. And of course, he's spoken a little bit about the consolations in other sections, in this state of peace and joy and awareness of God's will, perceiving God's will in all things. He says this state is full of consolations for those who have attained it. But to do so, it is necessary to pass through much anguish. Then he goes on in detail about these. So this state of abandonment, this abandonment of self-will, of attachments, particularly of attachments to our own plans and preferences, is not a painless one. If we're really doing it, if we're really giving up things, then of course it's going to hurt at least a little bit. It's going to cause us some sorrow. If it doesn't cause us any sorrow or hurt, then we perhaps should question ourselves, have I really given up, or am I just telling myself that I've given up, or telling others that I've surrendered my will completely to God? Because it is actually painful to give up your own will and your own plans. But we shouldn't be discouraged by this, that we remember that what God said, that we each need to take up our cross in some way or the other. So he says, it is only by constant crosses and by a long succession of all kinds of mortifications, trials and deprivations that pure love becomes established in the soul. This must continue until all created things become as though they did not exist and God becomes all in all. So this implies a kind of radical detachment. He says we need to be detached from whatever upsets the plans of God. And so we're going to find confusion, trouble, emptiness, and folly in such a way. Hardly has a soul said, I must go this way, I must consult this person, or I must act in such a manner, then God immediately says the exact contrary and withdraws all the virtue usual in the means adopted by the soul. Thus, finding only deception and emptiness in everything, the soul is compelled to have recourse to God himself and to be content with him. So I think this is quite important, that this process of abandonment, while it often brings with it the feelings of sorrow, desolation, emptiness, and even confusion, all of these are necessary steps to direct our affections towards God alone. So I think this awareness is a great sense of strength. I mean, this sense of desolation, this sense of loss, of difficulty, is not an end in itself and is also not going to be a permanent condition. I mean, it will always be there to some extent because life is a process, but it's not always going to be a case of dire suffering in abandoning ourselves to the will of God. But there will be definite crosses, there will be painful moments which we need to undertake of letting go, which is never really all that easy. Well, this brings us to the end of day 12 in our study of abandonment to divine providence. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on this journey of growth in the spiritual life. Next time, we're going to be moving on to sections 3 to 5 of chapter 2 of book 2 of Abandonment to Divine Providence. Until then, may Almighty God bless you, may He keep you and guide you and strengthen you and lead you forth by His gentle and loving hand. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including Abandonment to Divine Providence and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.